Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the 12th of the 8th month, 2025. It is 3 minutes past the hour of 10 and we are doing the most. For those that are just waking up right now because you put on an alarm, umholike, it is not morning time, it is night time. And we are going to be cruising through the evening. Hello, hello. How you doing? Creme de la creme. Ultimate drip. Cherry on top. Icing on the cake. The whole cake. I'm the table where the cake is chilling. And I'm definitely the tart with the table, the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top are chilling. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, we are about that stirring up the fire within you. We are about that violence. See? We are about wonderful, wonderful, wonderful existence of shandies. So we're going to be doing the most, and it is what it is. So hello, hello. How you doing? How are you really? I think that when we ask this question, right, there are so many times where we expect the I'm fine and then we just leave it at that. But that's most not what we want. We want better. We want people to be happy. We want people to be, aligned. We want them to be living their best lives. We really wish the best for you. I know this because I wish the best for you. And I know that you guys understand the assignment. So the heat is slowly coming in. I don't know if the heat is coming in or I'm coming down with something, but the heat is coming in and I'm feeling hot. Ngandazare Vore and Evorendino. Orangina Naimon. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in or you would like to call in and you're going to call in and it is what it is. So we're talking about emotional support, and the reason that we're talking about emotional support, is because I feel that many of us don't actually know how to do it. We don't know how to do it, and even if we could do it, I think that we're not accustomed to being to allowing ourselves to be so vulnerable in order for somebody else to open up to us, to be vulnerable as well. And we're talking about emotional support from the stand of a spouse, because believe you me, with spouses, right? Not unless you guys are in a long distance marriage. And I know that it's not what you want, you know? I know that nobody wants to get married to somebody that lives far away, and nobody wants to be commuting, commuting to go and see their loved one. Nobody really wants that. We're not in the ancient times, Mos, where your husband works there at Oranyamund and you are deep in the Unakureka and you are waiting for Habibi to come back after 3 years or 2 years. We are most not in those times anymore. We are in a time where we understand the importance of human connection. We understand the importance of being supported. We understand the importance of getting to know your partner and getting to know them through all the phases of their lives as they get to know yours. So it is not by will. It is not by intention. Not unless you are also in the phase of not liking your partner. So apparently Tete Kwedi says that if you make it through the first 3 years of marriage, then you are good. Like, you are good to go. So it's the first three years of marriage, because the first 3 years of marriage, that's when you guys are getting to know each other really. Yeah. Like true colors, like full blown true colors. Eh? Where I can also just, you know, and it's too brushing in you. And I just don't want to talk to nobody because, you know, I'm in my feelings. I'm in my feelings and it is what it is. So you must just accept me for what I am. And you get to know these features when you stay with, when you live with this person and this person is no longer on the market, because many of us have to understand that we are indeed pitching ourselves, you know, we are indeed, selling the product, because there are advantages, deep advantages of having a union, being in a stable and committed relationship. There are advantages. And that is why you find that somebody will just thug it out for 7 years. They're not married for 7 years. And then they finally get married in the 8th year. Because after you go through so much with somebody, And the only reason we go through so much with somebody is because they become part of the center of our lives, part of it. We can't say that they are the center of our lives, but they are part of the center of our lives. They are part and parcel of it. They have their own part to play within the center and the core of our lives. So we thug it out because, it is logical to do. We thug it out because we must. We thug it out because there is nothing that doesn't have storms, and there's nothing that doesn't have rainbows. It has both. It's called yin and yang. So if you make it through the first years, apparently you guys are unbreakable. But then there's also a stretch that happens there by year seven. So after year seven, like when you step into year seven of marriage, right? 7 to 10, you guys go through the hate process. Not the hate process, but the dislike process, where you guys evaluate each other's personalities fully. You guys evaluate each other's characters fully. So this is the part where one person or one partner doesn't like the other one. And it flips, you know, like a year and a half, it's the husband that doesn't like his wife. And it's not that he doesn't love her. He just doesn't like her as a human being. You know, those people that like, there's a difference between I love you and I like you. I like you means that, yo, even if I spend the whole day with you, I wouldn't feel bothered. I like your company. I like the way you talk. I like what you talk about. I like how you handle life. I like you. Like, oh, the things that you're interested in is unanti. It's not nice. Oh, shitoeshi, utowi, utowi, mnange, uto. As the Girikus say it, is it the Girikus or the Mbukushus? So then you find that there is this other stage where the roles are flipped. So now you go maybe through a year and you don't like your partner, but yeah, you thug it out because y'all, you know, it's not that you don't love them, it's just that you don't like them as a person, like, you know, like it's like that. It's like that irritating person that never stops talking in Imanjita Popi. It's not also appropriate. The things that they talk about are just not things that you fancy. It's almost like that. It's not something that would make you go outside and cheat. It's not something that would make you go have babies with other people. It's not something that would make you file for divorce. It's just a phase of not liking each other. And many people don't understand this because nobody really explains any of this. Sometimes you get it in year 7 to 10. These are 3 years, right? Year 7 to 10. And sometimes you get it there in year 5 where you're like, how? What am I doing here? Like, who is this person? Do I even like this person? This person is not a nice person. You know, they are, like the things they talk about, what they have interest in. You understand? First time, Jele. Then the roles flip because one day, miraculously, one day your partner that you just don't like, right? They just come through to you on a level that you never expected, and it just solidifies your love, and then you go back into, oh, I'm so in love with my wife. That's why you find them there on the socials, everything. They are probably in that season of I love my wife and my family. The profile picture is his wife. The profile picture is his wife. The what is his wife, is his wife. Because he's most now going through that, oh, I love my wife. And you won't see the wife posting because she's most probably in that phase of, I don't like this guy. Like, this guy. This guy, even the way he's chewing, like, who chews like that? Like me, when I met this guy was not snoring. Now all of the sudden that we are here, this guy is snoring left, right, and center. Now I have to go and sleep in the kids' room because I can't get to sleep. And then I'm always waking up tired because this guy is just snoring. You know, we all go to work, but he's always just, and I think that is the weirdest thing that happens. I think it's very, very weird that all of a sudden you just become a snorer. Is it because when we were dating, you were a snorer, but you were always waiting for me to sleep first, or what is the problem? Yeah, because it's not only me that's complaining out here. I've asked others. Kucha, hey, so how's the sleeping arrangement? Me, I don't sleep well because he snores. Everybody's partners, they snore. Eh? Like, but when they were, you know, testing the waters, there was no snoring. It was nice. Eh? Shimashito eshiri. And then all of a sudden they just become snorers. Like, what is that? Like, mankene. Maybe also it's the feeding, because there's a lot of feeding that happens there by, it seems like all married people do is just eat. They take a lot of pride in eating. If you want to see how much they eat, go to all these restaurants. You find them eating. Eh? And before that, they probably had a snack at home. A snack is imbobo no machin. Eh? So these people, they start to snore, and then all of a sudden, so that's when the flip happens, and this person is like, I don't like this guy, even the way he chews. And it's not a pregnancy thing, guys. I'm talking about really honestly looking at your partner like, oh, I know, does he have skew eyes? You've always known there's one eye that looks up sometimes when he's angry. Now all of a sudden, in this time, in this season of your life, in this season of your relationship, right? You see, all of a sudden this eye is coming out a little bit more because the person is frustrated. But it's like a little string there that is pulled when the person gets emotional. Now if the person is always emotional because you are always shouting, because you are always what? That guy, it just faces left, and then you're like, I know, are you looking at me or you're not looking at me? That's why if you want to be vindictive and you want to be mean, Mara, we all go through it, right? And it's also with siblings, and it's with every single relationship. You get to a point where you like your colleague so much, you know, you love your colleague, and then later on you're like, this colleague of mine also. Every time they always want me to do their job. Every time they always want to do it. Every time they want. Like it is not just a romantic relationship. It's just us. We as human beings, we have a tendency to fuse out at some point. We just don't like your partner. Like, I love you. I just don't like you. Cause like, I roll my eyes when you talk. Because like, What are you saying, man? Like, don't say that. Like, why do you think like that? But then it blows over, because like the male partner, the guy partner also comes through at some point, and then he shows you, kucha, like me, I love you, and I'm here for this and all of that. And then bam, we flip the script. And then at year 10, we go and equalize, and then we are on the same playing field where it is just, it's just like you are just there. It is what it is. We are here now. Once a psalm. Tulipamwe. Tulipamwe, please. All right. So now we're talking about emotional support, because we want to support our partners emotionally. We want to be there for others. But I think that we have to develop a sense of resilience, tolerance, and patience when it comes to loved ones and their emotional sorrow or their distress. We have to understand that it is not everybody that gets over things as fast as you do, and it is not everybody that is able to just snap out of it. You know, the biggest insult that you can give anybody that has a mental disorder is snap out of it. That is the biggest insult. Because if I could snap out of it, I would snap out of it. If I don't want to be here. Now you are telling me that I must just get myself out of it. Like, that's the biggest insult. And that's why we say that don't, if you know nothing about something, don't say anything. The best thing to say is, I'm here if you need anything. That's the most sincere thing that you can tell somebody. And when the person comes to you also, because I know that we fear this saying because of our pockets. We fear this thing because of who we are. And we are afraid of being asked for the impossible, right? I'm afraid that you're going to ask me like, oh no, please get me a car, taiziko pate, to come and get my mom because she's not feeling well and I don't have a car. You understand? But I believe that when we tell people that, that if I'm here, if you need anything, right? Then this would be ideal. Because even the person that you're telling this, right? This person knows you. So they are not going to ask you for something that they don't absolutely believe within their hearts that you are capable of. So if they ask you to go and get a car from Opate, right? That is simple. It's because they feel that you are capable of it. And it's because they trust you in that area. So we are talking about emotionally supporting our partners. We are talking about the process in which we can emotionally support our partners. So we need to create safe spaces for them to share their feelings without judgment and offer practical help or reassurance. And reassurance, actually. Remember to prioritize your own well-being to avoid a burnout, because carrying somebody else's emotions also has the potential of burning you out. So in order for you to support them properly, you have to be in a good space as well. And you also have to be in a space where you can now see that this might be too much for me to handle. I'm not able to do this. So a tough thing to do, right? In terms of grief and death, right? And you being somebody's support system. So hypothetically, your spouse dad dies, and your spouse is a firstborn, right? So he's shared. Like he's next to dad. When it comes to the hierarchy, he's next to dad, or just beneath dad. He is expected to do a lot culturally, and he's also expected to do a lot financially, and he's also expected to do emotionally. A lot to do emotionally. So if you were to support, right, but you can't allow yourself to be in a position of burning out, a place where you would most probably burn out is things like going to the mortuary. Even if you are wife, shiteng, right? And you know within your spirit, right, that you can't handle going to the mortuary to go and assist in the dressing of your father-in-law that passed away. If you are not able to do that, I wouldn't advise you to tell your partner that you can't do that, because this will now cause frustration within your partner. And also people have this tendency of assuming that what they can do, you can do as well. And that is why you guys are in a partnership. But there are just some things that you can't handle, right? And there are just some things that might stay with you and haunt you for a long time because you are not accustomed to it. If you come from a space where you have never experienced death firsthand, if you have never seen death firsthand, apart from already packaged is the coffin. It is the funeral services that are coming. That's an already packaged death. But then the process of the packaging, ohakuya akuruntu. You understand? And you are akuruntu. I mean, many of us don't really understand that we are the akuruntus now. We are the big people. That's why we're being called. Now you are wondering, kucha, this person that's calling to come and tell me, kucha, who is not feeling well. Like, why are they telling me? They're telling you because you are part of the elders of the family. And it's time for us to have that reality check. I was watching a skit today where they said that there is no such thing as adulthood. We are all just children, because there are great people Who was it? Isaac Newton, apparently. Isaac Newton, delayed therapy, delayed, treatment. Is it, yeah, it's Isaac Newton. He delayed treatment to, he delayed treatment to cancer to go and be in the mountains for 8 months, drinking carrot juice and taking herbs because he wanted to avoid it. Like, that is not an adult or mature thing to do. The mature thing to do is get the medication. But many of us Amos now, we are more afraid of what we don't know than what we know. So we tend to go towards the side of the one that doesn't seem as lethal as the other one. So we are the adults. So in this case where the mothers-in-laws and the aunties and the cuckoos, they are going to the mortuary now to prepare or to see your late father-in-law, and you are now Shitenya, but you're also Mesheri of the family because Unomasiga, and also you are Sheri's wife. If you are not able to, don't decline. What you need to do is be the driver. That's what you need to do. You need to be the driver. If you don't drive, be the accompanier. So you guys go and you go and speak your English there. We are here to see the body of who and then can you ask the people there if they can usher the family in? And then you can tell your mother-in-law that I am too emotional to do this, but I am waiting for you and I am here for you. Then that way you still went to support, just not in a way that would also psychologically or emotionally or mentally damage you. Because it wouldn't help if you went there because you were pushing yourself to go there. And then now you are having nightmares for the next year of your father-in-law's body. You understand? And even though it is covered to some degree, with some mortuaries, right? They open the body all the way until half, like until the top part is open, and now you are seeing the stitches and you are seeing a lifeless body, and it's cold and it's stiff, and maybe you can't deal with that. But what I can tell you is go and you wait for your people, because that is supporting them through this tough time that you guys are all going through as a family. But what won't work is you staying at home and watching your mother-in-law just go with aunties and what, and she doesn't have a child to carry her. She doesn't have a child there to help her. She doesn't have a child there to come and be embraced by after she sees her husband laying in the morgue. You understand? You are the child. You are the child's wife. You are the child. So you take it upon yourself to fill the spaces of your beloved, right? And you represent him well. That's how you do it without damaging yourself psychologically. That is how I would say you can do it. Just go. You don't have to go inside. And usually sometimes they do have limits. So the more the merrier. I'm giving you guys tips and tricks. Eh? The more the merrier. If you guys go all five, eh? They will most probably only allow three. So you can stay behind. Eh? And you can play it off like respect. I'm teaching you guys umbudhi. You can play it off like, I know, indamwa meme, ngandi mutegerere ponje. Ah, no, just go in, mommy. I'm going to wait for you here outside. He was your husband. I understand. You know, ne we etarara. Now you people are telling people blatantly after they have lost parents. You're telling them blatantly, no, me, I'm not comfortable with dead bodies. Bro, who's comfortable with dead bodies? Eh? Only morticians. And you know, the police and paramedics, you understand, Mastoh, eh? So nobody is No, everybody is going through things the first time, guys. Nobody has ever lost a father twice. Not the biological one. Everybody has their own sections in life. You can't say that, me, I'm not used to it. You, like, there's no such thing as, I'm not used to it. What do you mean, I'm not used to it? Now, who is? Who is used to losing loved ones? That is exactly where the fight comes and the bitterness comes afterwards. Now, all of a sudden, you are thinking that your beloved is going through depression, Kanti. They are resentful towards you for not showing up for them in a time where they needed you the most. And that's why ever since your husband's grandmother died, your husband's just not looking at you the same. Because you were sitting there drinking brutal fruit with long nails. How? The day that you find out, Kucha, there's a death in the other side's family, you cut the nails straight. You cut the nails. You can ask him to take you to the nail place when you guys are done, because you are going to Vioka. You're going to Vioka and you are going to take up the space of your beloved, right? As a representative of your beloved, you're going to be a representative of your beloved. That is why many, many, many people have a problem with infidelity, because infidelity is shameful. It is embarrassing. So when you are roaming the streets there with young boys, ma'am, your husband is deeply embarrassed. He's so embarrassed. And it's not because you are dishing your body away. It is because you are supposed to be representing the house. You're supposed to be representing the family. You are supposed to be a representative, and now you're doing shameful things. And it is the same with sad moments and happy moments. You are the one that's supposed to be at the top of the list, man.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Faculty of Commerce, Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law of the University of Namibia is pleased to present the hybrid face-to-face and online annual international conference on sustainable and equitable financial systems, SEFS, to take place on the 21st to the 22nd of October 2025 in Windhoek, Namibia. Authors, young researchers, academicians, and practitioners are invited to submit their abstracts. The submission of abstracts deadline is the 3rd of September 2025. For more information, visit the university website at www.unam.edu.na/. Thank you so much.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. We're talking about how to support our partners emotionally. Now, emotional things, are just that, emotional things. We don't know. We don't know how you are dealing with it. We don't know how you are taking it. But what we do know is we can assume and put ourselves in your shoes to see if we can have a snippet of what you feel. A snippet doesn't mean I fully understand your emotions. It doesn't mean that I fully know what you're going through. It's not to say that I can feel your pain. It is a sense of understanding what you are going through. So, the reason that we need to support our spouses or our partners or our boyfriends, you know, or our side chicks, you know, emotionally, everybody needs emotional support. We're not advocating for infidelity, but if you're doing it, and you really just want to equalize everybody, you want your wife to be happy, your mistress to be happy, and then you also want your side chick to be happy, Kamboroto to be happy. You can start by emotionally supporting. I know you're already financially doing that because we already know that you're doing that one. So let us go there by emotionally also support them. Eh? If your side chick is going through that emotional turmoil of, at home, they just don't understand why I go out so much. Like, you must be an open ear. It's not everything that needs advice, guys. I feel like we are always, we lack conversation. We don't know how to conversate. We don't know how to gel into alignment with what is being said and how it's being said. We don't know how to agree with one another. There's always, I hate it when I'm talking about something and you chip in and say that what I'm talking about is not correct, even though it's not your conversation. So if I'm talking about, I feel like people are very emotional. You can't come and tell me that I don't think that you are right. Like, what do you mean you don't think that I'm right? These are my thoughts. It's not about right and wrong. It's really just understanding which perspective I'm taking it from, right? And say, oh, so you're taking it from the perspective of psychology, or you're taking it from the perspective of at work, or which perspective are you saying that people are very emotional? And then I can explain. And then you can be like, oh, okay, because I feel like people are not really emotional when it comes to business, but I can see why you would say that in relationships, for example, or in intimate relationships, people tend to be very emotional. That's a conversation. Now you, like, what's wrong with you, bruh? Eh? Why can't it just be, oh, okay, I agree. Like, it always has to be in terminance. Why wouldn't I'm an anoring? Eh? Every time it's just some tamnanas, some tamnanas, and tamnanas. Like, no, stop, change. How? Ah! Let's have conversations. Like, you can't disagree with everything that comes out of somebody's mouth. Why? I feel like, have you ever been in a relationship with someone that doesn't like you? Or someone that hates you? Or someone that's a competitor? Every time you do something, they want to outshine you. I was reading this confession, or not a confession. It was a complaint. It was a venting session. This woman, right? So she's married to a lovely guy. She says he's a lovely guy when they are alone, but every time they go out, he takes every single opportunity to embarrass her. Every single opportunity he takes it to embarrass her. So if somebody can tell her that she looks nice, and he will be the first one to beat her down. Like, literally. He'll be the first one to say, "Ah, yeah, that's an old dress. She doesn't even look that nice in it." How? Like, imagine your own habibi, at the work parties. He's telling colleagues, when they give you a compliment, "Oh, you look beautiful in that yellow dress." Then he's like, "Ah, yeah, she doesn't look nice. Or she doesn't look that great." Like, how? Like, what am I supposed to say to that? And how does how does the person that's giving me a compliment, how do they react to that? And I've seen it. I've seen it. Every chance somebody gets to embarrass their spouse, they take it. Like, what is that? Now you come to a point where you don't even want to go out with your spouse anymore, because your spouse, he's never on your side. Somebody can come there and decide that, hey, or parking anginyan, you can be parked properly. And this man, will say like, yeah, marakush ku parking ashit. Like how? But in, okay, she talk and she ku parking, mara today on the parking an hour, the other person is wrong. It's like they never take your side ever. Like, oh, that's the worst. It's like having a parent that is always picking one side. It's always picking this other child. No matter, even if the child is wrong, they will find a way to work around or to walk around the fact that they are wrong. They will say something like, you are not supposed to react like that. You know, no, the person is really wrong, but you were not supposed to react like that to the insult that they gave you. You should have just left it. Why weren't you the bigger man? Like, how does it become me when the person that aggravated me is that one? Like, why am I being blamed for their aggravation? Because I'm reacting to what was dished out to me. There are people that would like to constantly embarrass and constantly put you down. They never say anything nice. They never say anything good. It is constantly just ridicule after ridicule after ridicule. You can start a conversation and you can literally start a conversation about anything. You can say like, but I really enjoyed. Like, look at this one. This is you talking about your experience. I really enjoyed the Pepsi that I drank yesterday. And this person will come and say, Pepsi is not even a good brand. Like, okay. Hey. So, what? Yeah, Pepsi is not a good brand. You are focusing on the wrong things. Are you not happy that I enjoyed something? I had fun doing something. I enjoyed this thing that I was drinking. But you are coming to tell me, yeah, but Coca-Cola has many calories and it has so much sugar and it is addictive and it's what? Like, bro, I enjoyed the Coca-Cola yesterday. I enjoyed the Pepsi yesterday. Like, why does it always have to be a fight? You understand? And I'm not a fan of such people. I'm not a fan of such people because it makes me just walk away. Like, in all honesty, it makes me just walk away. It makes me just not want to talk to you anymore. I'll just answer questions. So if you ask me, oh, where's the key? I'll say it's here. And that's it. I will not say anything because I also don't want to be put in a position where my mental health is being jeopardized because you are not capable of having a conversation with me. But yet I see you having conversations with other people. Somebody can be like, oh, this black telephone at work, that the number is 0832888401. Oh, this black telephone at work, it rings a lot. And literally, right? Or I like the way the black telephone looks. Now my question is, why is your answer, black telephones are not even nice. You just like silly things. Okay. What are thinking? You can be talking about, the person just never sees eye to eye with you. Like, never agrees on your standpoint. Like, is never on your side. Imagine that. Imagine being married to somebody that is never on your side. Ever. A robber can come from there, and the robber is wrong, Mara, you were wrong for being in your house. Like, literally, they'll find fault in something. You were wrong for being in your house and coming to get robbed in your house. Like, you were wrong. Like, where was I supposed to be? It's nighttime. Where am I supposed to be so that the robber doesn't find me at home? Like, come on, guys. I don't know why people do that, but people must learn to have conversations, must learn to do not always have something negative to say. People must learn to choose the words that come out of their mouth. People speak like they are vomiting. Constantly just speaking like you're vomiting. Blah, 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 blah. Saying all kinds of negative things that don't even make sense. Like, how am I supposed to make sense of you telling me that I'm not supposed to be in the house? Like, mara nangu opo udine. Like, what do you mean nanga opo ndiri nga ndiri membo? Ndiri membo janje ndamwena. And the robber breaks in and finds me here. Which part am I wrong? Yeah, maro shiki no fazuka po. Ndi fazuka po nduka penya anongero okai. Like, for real, like, now it becomes an argument of what I should have done, what I could have done, but had I had the courage, right, to do all of this, I would have done it. But the fact is that I found myself in a dangerous situation, and the best thing I could do for myself, and that's why I'm here today, is be still. Be still, comply. Where's the phone? It's over there. Do you guys have a safe? We don't. Do you have money? I have 200 in the wallet. You comply. You look down, you comply. That's it. Then the person was in and out. 30 minutes. In and out. You understand? Now if I'm still trying runaway things and then the person shoots me in the back, then what? Then I die because I'm trying to run away. Like, I feel that we should honestly just start checking our words. If you're not a fan, if you are bothered by this person for some odd reason, it's either you come clean and you put your worries and your problems against this person, right, on the table so that you guys can resolve it and move forward, or avoid talking to each other. Because clearly me, I say like, oh, this chair is a bit uncomfortable to sit in for me, you know? Like, why don't you guys just ask questions? Like, why is it uncomfortable? You know, like, why do you think it's uncomfortable? No, it's because it's too forward. It's too low. It's too high. Then you can, oh, okay. Like, usually because high chairs for people, it's not a you thing. It's not a me thing. Yeah, usually high chairs, they tend to do this and they tend to do that. And we're talking, you know? But now I tell you, oh, this chair is uncomfortable. Yeah, if you don't like that chair, then you can always sit in the back. Like, what kind of dumb answer is that? And you are giving these kind of dumb answers to somebody that you're going to, somebody that cooks your food. Ah, you people are brave. You people are brave. Eh? You are answering people that have power, to end it in the middle of the night because they snapped. Why don't we just try and be nice to one another? People in relationships are going through a lot, and unfortunately, what happens to you when you go through a lot in a relationship? At first you talk, you preach to the choir, you understand? And then you get to a point where you don't talk anymore. When somebody asks you like, oh, how's Teresia? You're like, ah, no, they're fine. You know? Because you get tired of talking. And I also practice the art of zero expectations. I think that is the best gift that I have given myself this year. I really trusted the process there. I trusted the process in carrying me through life. So I don't expect anything. When I don't expect anything, if it comes, I'm happy. If it doesn't come, it doesn't bother me. Whatever it is, because I was not expecting nothing. Expectations. Eh, Vaholike, expectations. Or we are expecting, things from living human beings that have their own minds and bodies and actions to control. And we want to be the ones that are controlling them. Expect nothing so that when something good happens, what does it do? It surprises you in a pleasant way. So are we together? Of course we're together. We must be together. Eh? I'm just waiting for you guys to call. But you guys must like that listening. We listen and we don't talk. Eh? Guys, I'd like that. We listen and we don't talk. We write down and we don't talk. We don't talk about anything. We just nod here on the other side. But it's okay. You guys are most sitting with people that are also very difficult. So you guys are most probably listening to radio on earphones. It's okay. It's all good. Eh? It's all good. But I hope that we are on the same page here. One thing about emotional support, right, is that when you are in a confined space, your home, your relationship. That's a confined space, né? When you are in a confined space with someone, when they are not okay, it glistens. When they are not okay, it's like glitter. You can see the glitter. You can see glimpses of not okayness. You can see that they are not in a good space. And if they are not talkers, then you will never know. I promise you will never know. If they're not talkers, you will never know. Not unless you can read them. You can read them, you can learn about them, and you can ask them, and you can create a safe enough space for them to express themselves freely and talk about it and not have shame and not have guilt about how they feel and what they are experiencing. Now, if somebody out there has a partner that was recently diagnosed with something serious. Something serious is usually a physical ailment or a mental ailment or a mental disorder of some sort, right? Now, on the physical side, it's difficult to hide pain. It's difficult to hide pain, and that is why many people that have had, for example, sports injuries, they have a tendency to become addicted to opioids and to become addicted to painkillers, you know, Adderall, very bad, very, very bad, bad, addictive, addictive. That's when it's drugs on its own because it has codeine. But they have a tendency of becoming addicted to painkillers, you know, after an injury, and the injury is something that you have to recover from for like two years or a year, 6 months. You become addicted to the painkillers, and it's difficult now for you to ask somebody that's going through a physical ailment of that sort or an injury of that sort if they are okay, because 90% of the time they are actually okay because they are dazed and they keep upping the dosage. So first of all, when you started with the painkillers, right? You took 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 at night. And then your body became resistant towards the medication. So that means you take 2 in the morning, 2 at tea time, 10 o'clock, 2 at lunchtime, 2 at 3 o'clock, and 2 again at 6 o'clock, and then 2 again at 9 o'clock. That's how you start, because now the pain comes back faster because your body has now become accustomed to or used to the painkillers, right? And that's how many, many people become addicted to painkillers. And addiction to painkiller is very much real. It's only that it's not something that it's not something that we talk about. Because there's nothing that's happening that's out of the ordinary. The only thing that's happening outside of the ordinary is that somebody is becoming dependent on this medication in order for them to have a functioning day, a functioning time, a functioning life of some sort. So this is just something that you can pick up by counting their prescription drugs, you know, you count their prescription drugs to see if it's a problem. Because if somebody is getting the best of the best painkillers, and these best of the best painkillers that they are getting, right, they are done in 2 weeks, then we have a problem. Then we have a problem, because then that means you're not taking the correct dosage, and maybe we have to change this painkiller. Maybe we have to change from this one to something a bit stronger that doesn't cause you to take it infrequently. That's how you check. But with physical stuff, when somebody says they are fine, it's difficult for you to tell, because everything is actually difficult to tell, but it's difficult for you to tell because you are not feeling their pain. But sometimes you can see the pain on their face. And how to check on the emotional side, right, is by when somebody's having something like cancer or TB or something chronic, you understand? And that thing that's chronic is something that is painful. So there are people that have chronic situations, but like high blood pressure is most now something that is permanent, but it's not painful. There's a level of discomfort that comes in, and that discomfort is something that you can interpret as pain. Are you okay? Like, oh no, I'm just feeling fatigued and I'm feeling a little dazed and I'm feeling like my heart is pumping and I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that. Now, that is something that you can say, okay, I see here that, that you are having discomfort, and that's how you can ask, and you can try and make them a bit more comfortable. You understand? With physical ailments, it's just a matter of making them comfortable and also, explaining and doing research about whatever is wrong with them. So if somebody went maybe for a liver, for an operation that went to flush out the liver, for example, like my cousin, he's young, 25. He went for a liver operation. Now, this operation, right? How you can emotionally support this person is know what is wrong with him. Know the ailment. Don't come there and especially for people in the hospital, ne? I want our family members and our loved ones. I know that we are in desperate times when somebody's in the hospital for something serious. I want our loved ones to refrain from bringing different kinds of remedies. Stop. You're abstracting the medicine that is being done here. So you cannot, I'm in the hospital. I'm on antibiotics. I've just had an operation. I'm on the drip. I'm on medication, right? And then you decide that you're going to bring me Okando Bokwe, Koko Forever Living Product. Like, wait for me to get better. Wait for this medication. I cannot mix. Don't mix medicine. I cannot mix. This my medication and this the traditional remedies at the same time. Wait for me to finish the course of this one. Wait for me to finish the white people medicine. Then when we are done with that one, then we can now move into living a healthy lifestyle. Because I believe that with herbs, and I believe with plants and roots, right, and barks. I believe that they have healing properties. These ones, they also heal. Medicine also, it heals. I believe in medicine as well. I believe in the science. I believe in science, guys. I believe in medicine. I believe that God gave people interest, in being pharmaceutical people. People, God gave them interest, because it's not every one of us that has interest in how Panado is made. Like, even if I had to go to a seminar that was absolutely free and everything is paid for and the seminar is about Panado, itandiko. No, sorry. Tandiko. Because, interest in Panado, ne? Kandinara. I don't have that kind of interest for Panado. I don't. I will not go. I would rather give that opportunity, ne? To somebody that actually wants to go, that actually has an interest in that. And those interests are planted within us by our maker before we come here. You know, everybody has their own role to play. Everybody has their own place designed specially for them. Everybody is special, and that is why we are not special. We are special because we are not special. Because everybody is unique, that's why we are not unique. Because uniqueness, right, is, if it is normal for everybody to be unique, then that means we are just normal. So if you have an interest in something, I believe that because of your interest that has been bestowed upon you by your ancestors, right? You have been put in a place where you are capable of creating pharmaceutical drugs that can help somebody clean out their liver, clean out their organs, antibiotics, finish with this treatment, and then you come and you heal with the medicinal herbs. You come and you heal, and then you restore. I believe that herbs, I believe that iwanga, you guys, ngani tameko practice anje. Next year tandi pitimo, guys. Next year tandi pitimo kani no practice anje yungango shiritika pewa romba pira anje kuko traditional authority sa range inde tandi ningara shiri ndi ninga unganga yo pansu siguru wakaro shashino how guys ano. Because I believe in it. I do believe in it. I believe that plants and herbs, right? They don't just cure. they also heal. And with healing, right, it I feel like it restores. It restores in the spiritual realm. It restores in the day-to-day realm. It restores. So if you are a person that has your mother that believes me wanga and ungo urimo shipangero kanaka meme and you have oriko kepango, I believe that mana epango joe tango. And then you can really just move to here, and then you can restore your body. You can restore your body. The problem, as we were speaking to Dr. Nkali last time, and she's a medical doctor, right? Dr. Nkali says that there's nothing wrong with medicinal herbs. There's nothing wrong with roots. There's nothing wrong with things that come from the soil. The problem comes in with measurements. So the difference between pharmaceutical drugs and natural herbs is literally just measurements. It's measurements, it's measurements, it's measurements. So the reason that they are not in Kalutura Hospital there, it's because we don't know how many leaves, eh, that we have to put into your tea to assist you with sleeping. Not that lavender is bad. Lavender. I think that somewhere, somehow, there by city of Winduka, ne, kunontune, in a spiritual healing, because when you walk around in Windhoek City and you see municipal places, right? 90% of the places in Windhoek City have spiritual herbs, have medicinal herbs. City of Winduka, there's a big lavender bush, and lavender is so medicinal. There's lavender, there's rosemary, they are just all these natural herbs. Now, if I was just an ordinary person, right? Me, I would just plant flowers most. City of Ventura, plant flowers. But because maybe there's somebody there, ne? Somebody said, let's plant, lavender in Windhoek City.
Young Namibians who have recently turned 18 years old, the time has come for you to take your first step in exercising your constitutional right of voting. Register as a voter during the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. Uphold your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right and register to vote.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of either.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
I want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, so now that we have set the standards, we have explained in depth, right, what it is and how to go about it. Let's just sway.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, so we have set the standards. We have explained in depth over 2 days, which are, when does somebody need emotional support? They need emotional support when they are having emotional distress. They need emotional support when they are going through financial loss. They need emotional support when they are taking big decisions or even sometimes small decisions. They need emotional support when they don't know where they stand in life, when they have misdirection in life, where they don't know what their purpose is in life. They need emotional support making big decisions, making big decisions. Sometimes, right, I think that when you guys are entering into a relationship and you don't understand somebody's background, because you have to most now go through the courting where you guys like each other and you guys want to do this, right? And you don't understand somebody's background. It is very difficult for us to support something that we don't know. And that is why conversations are a necessity. Stop having conversations about, did you eat, guys? Ah, you have found me eating. Eh? You didn't find me thin. You didn't find me living under a bridge. You found me eating. You found me in a good space. You can ask me if I have eaten, if I told you that may I have high blood pressure, then part of my thing that I'm having is that the problem with the disease in itself is most not pumping sufficient blood, because the blood is thick and the veins are what and they are it's a whole thing. So part of it could also be an energy loss. Now, if you're having an energy loss, my sister, and you're in a bad mood, some of us don't even know what the symptoms could possibly look like because we don't recognize the symptoms. You are thinking that, no, I just don't want to have sex with my partner anymore because my partner is irritating. But if you look at the things that you are calling irritating, they are not really irritating. So what is wrong? It's maybe because of that high blood pressure. The minute you get onto the correct medication, and I believe that correct medication is essential to any condition, right? So the minute you get on, all these other symptoms, they go away. Yeah, low libido and then erectile dysfunction. Most men are having erectile dysfunction because they have an undiagnosed high blood pressure. Undiagnosed. You guys are thinking, kuja, ah, yeah. Sometimes ashiri wairwa pantu. Sometimes, punanga onto onkorokoshi. Somebody that you have done dirty and they go with your penis. They really do. It happens. We're African. Please become accustomed to it. It happens. But sometimes, right, nobody went anywhere to go and take your penis away, say. You are deep in thought and your blood pressure is skyrocketing over the top, eh? And you are going undiagnosed because it also, you wouldn't think that it is a symptom. You wouldn't. Even if you go to the doctor will never ever. It's very rare to find a doctor checking your blood pressure. Not unless, you have the ordinary symptoms like, shortness of breath and swelling of hands and feet and, my body is just, you know, it's not giving, I'm fatigued. Maybe if you have those symptoms, but now if you don't have those symptoms, that's why they call it the silent killer, right? If you don't have those symptoms, you would never think that your genitalia not rising is part and parcel of blood pressure because we don't even go and read up on diseases. We don't go and do investigations. Me, I feel like my doctors love me because by the time I get there, I explain exactly what it is. And then the doctor checks to confirm if my diagnosis is correct. And then my diagnosis is correct. And then we move forward. Medication. My medication. You know, when you must have an interest in your well-being. So if you are not feeling fine, and I know that many of us ignore that, but ask yourself, why you are always angry? Ask yourself why you're always shouting. Ask yourself why you can't sleep. Ask yourself these questions, right? And if you can just do a little bit of research, I don't sleep well and my heart is pounding and I feel like my chest is closing up. You just put all your symptoms there. There's a likelihood that you'll find what's wrong with you. And Google never says, Google never says something like, yeah, right now you must just be strong. No, Google always says in part of the symptoms and all the cures and remedies, they will always say, see a general practitioner. They always advise you to go to the doctor so that the doctor can now go and check and confirm, kucha, if this that you are feeling is like this, then it's like that. Now many of you are in unhappy marriages because there's no pata pata, There's no pata pata because the person is stressed. The person is stressed. It's most probably work. It's the kids. It's the in-laws. It's their own family. It is being bothered. It is money. I was having a conversation with this other entrepreneur or businessman and he said that, he doesn't get erections when he's broke. Like if he's broke for 3 months, then there's no erection for 3 months. The minute the money comes in, the minute the money falls onto the account, he's like, all of a sudden, I want a girl. Because money. Yeah. And, If you can figure that out, right? Then there will be a sense of confidence that also comes within you because now you are stressed about who's this guy, Junior, let's say Aluta. Mm-hmm. You are stressed about Aluta not continuing, You are scared because Viva is not vivaring, and you could just solve this, with going to the doctor. And saying, you know what? Let's check the blood pressure. Let's try the blood pressure. Let's check that one. Because I'm so stressed. Ne? Let's check it. Let's get something for it. And then we'll see if this is not part of the symptoms. Because I read, Kuja, it's also part of the symptoms. Hello, libido. Shiri kututa itotuta. Kututa itotuta. Kututa itotuta. It's you just don't want those things. But it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for you to not want those things because you are at the prime of your life. Now you are running around gynecologist. You are running around You are running around general practitioner. You guys don't even have the money to be going to ongangas. You don't. You guys don't have that kind of money. You guys are just really just bypassing your problem. You are leaving your problem just here and bypassing to everybody. I'm being witched by the lady from the village. And you know that person doesn't even think about you. You just have high blood pressure. Bro. These are adult conversations. Because you guys are going through a lot. You guys are going through a lot. You guys want to go and kill your wives when they go outside, but they go for years without pata pata because you don't function like that. Maranua, Anua, you're not stressed. You guys don't want anything for stress. You guys don't want anything for depression. You guys don't want anything. Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's how you support somebody with physical ailments. You basically support them and ask them how they feel about being in the situation that they are. And this is now the space where they talk about it. And sometimes they say, I'm fine. And you can now say that if I was in your shoes, I would be feeling bad. I'd be feeling bad not because this has happened to me, but mostly because now I'm in this space and I don't want to be in this space. I would like for you to tell me how you are feeling so that I can navigate around assisting you and not being an extra burden. So the first thing that we're going to do is we are going to actively listen and validate. Give full attention when you are talking to somebody and you want to emotionally support them. Stop having this thing of asking people how they are and then immediately after you say, how are you? You say something like, oh, pass me that cup. Like, don't interject with unnecessary things because it makes one feel like whatever I have to say is not important. That is why this person can literally ask me for something that I'm going through a life-changing emotion here. And you're asking me, oh, pass me that cup. Like, don't mix things. If you're giving full undivided attention, give full undivided attention. You can reach for the cup yourself. How? All right. And reflect their feelings. Summarize what they said to show you understand. So somebody is telling you, which I just feel like I'm less of a man because my PP is not working. And I feel like you talk about me and now I walk in shame because I feel like everybody can see me and I know that people cannot see me. Now I feel like I have to overcompensate with being loud and dashing money and all of that because I feel unseen and I feel unheard and I feel bad that this is happening to me and I just want it to go away, you know? So how you could reflect, right, to their feelings is by saying that, okay, so what you are saying is, when you say something back to someone, this now shows that you have heard what they've said. And if there are pieces that you missed, they can fill in the blanks. That means you really listened. So how you could now turn around and do this, right, by reflecting their feelings, you can now say that, okay, so what you're saying is that you don't feel like you are a real man, or you feel like you are less of a man because the genitalia is now not working, or yeah, the genitalia is not working, and you feel embarrassed about it, and even when you go out, you feel like people can see and people know what is happening, and you just want it to go away. And then they can now, then they respond and say like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. Okay, I hear you and I understand what you are saying and I understand how you feel. So that is the section where we validify, yeah, their emotions. Acknowledge what they are feeling. Acknowledge what they are feeling and what they are saying and validify it. Say that I understand and I would feel the same. How you validify somebody's emotions is by saying that they are correct to feel the way that they are feeling. It's not about you saying that, don't feel like that. Yeah? Because you guys keep telling people what to feel and how to feel and how not to feel and when to feel, what to feel. You know, you cannot tell me, nah, be strong when my mother died. No. You cannot tell me to be strong. You can tell me that you understand my pain and your pain is valid, and put in your shoes, I would feel the same. I understand and I'm here. You are not crazy for feeling the way you are feeling because this is something that is bad that is happening to you. That is how you make someone understand that you understand them. You cannot tell somebody, Mara, inokara uno madhira dhiroga changao. You know, when you're talking to somebody that has suicidal ideation, right? You cannot tell them things like, inimote ikara nao. No, you have to be patient enough to go through the stages of a conversation so that even when you do go and motivate, you have also validified what they are feeling. You cannot tell me that, yeah, you must not feel like that. Eh? But the way ndanyenyeterwa oshotashi oshoshali mbili kontima wanje, the things that were said shitenyenyeterwa ontima wanje. You cannot tell me that those feelings are not valid. Like imagine being told by your mother that I think that you and I need to go for a DNA test. This is a biological mother, because fathers, they can say these things because with fathers, we never know who's the biological father. But with mothers, right? With mothers, they know. So imagine how painful it is, for example, to be told by your biological mother that, that she would like for you guys to go to a DNA test because she doesn't believe that she can have a stupid child like you. That is extremely emotionally painful. And you, the listener, you, the partner, you, the one that is there for emotional support, right? What you can say is that, because you guys always want to side with everybody, it's not a matter of siding, it's a matter of validifying. Kucha, you are correct to feel the way you do, because the thing that was said to you was extremely hurtful. Ombidi. You understand what I mean? That is exactly it. That is how we navigate around being supportive towards our people, right? Because often, many a times, we dismiss their emotions. We dismiss what they are going through. We dismiss what they are going through with practicality and logic. But we can't do that. What we need to do is validify. So we can say that, yes, what was said to you was hurtful. I understand. And had I been put in the same shoes, I would feel the way you are feeling. And I would be also angry the way you are angry and disappointed the way you are disappointed. I hear you. It was not a nice thing to say. Never ever in the active listening phase, which is phase one, never ever put somebody else in and tell it from their side, because many of us share spotlights and there's nobody in this world that wants to always share the spotlight. Sometimes we just need someone that is for me only. Someone that is going to hear me only without pushing the agenda of me, I must see from another person's perspective. This is not the time for me to see from another person's perspective. I'm hurt. I'm hurt and I am in pain. It's not a time for me to understand where my mother was coming from. It's not a time for me to understand where my uncle was coming from, where my partner was coming from, where my sister was coming from. It's not a time for me to understand. It is a time for me to express. So now, when someone tells you, it's that thing of always wanting the person to be wrong, because you guys don't know how to console. You guys love me because I can console you guys. I can console the hell out of you. Hey, and if you console ngai ngai timuhungo mwenyu ngai, very very much capable. Ozala, you know, I hear you. I hear you. We go through your emotions. We talk about your emotions. Atumana, and then when you feel valid, right? Maybe at some point later on in the conversation, we can also have a conversation about the person that hurt you, so that you can have for peace, right? So that you can have an understanding of who the person is, why the person said, what they were going through, and it doesn't make it right, but it is the sequence. That was the sequence of events. That's why. But if we want to be good human beings to one another and we want to live long together, then some of these things must be practiced. So we become good at everything that we practice. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. We become good at everything that we practice. We just have to practice it really. We have to have patience and tolerance for each other's emotions. Emotions are redundant. Emotions are long. Emotions are tedious. But once you get that, you have a partner for life. Once you pass that threshold, right? Your partner can read your face like this and come and give you an apology on behalf of somebody that hurt your feelings, and you will accept it and you will let go and you will forgive. Why? Because they understand. It's just the same as a friend. You guys are breaking up with friends because something was said. Something was said that moved your heart. I think one of my friends had put a dent in my heart, right? And we are working on the relationship now. After 6 years, we have recently started working on rebuilding our relationship. Even though it is no longer the same, we are working on it, right? Because for me, there was something that was said that I couldn't let go of. For the life of me, I couldn't let it go, because for me, it was cold. It was cold and it was insensitive. And I had so much to say within my heart about it, that's the moment in our friendship where I started to detach. I started to detach and I became accustomed to not having her in my life and not having her as part of it, and letting go of our dreams and our plans and letting go, letting it die, right? Because I lost my stepdad. Right? I lost my stepdad, and my stepdad was a big deal. He was a big deal to me. Like 2018, he was a big deal to me. You know who came to tell me? It was Elu. Elu came to tell me that the grandfather passed away. And 20, 2018, Elu was like, Elu started talking at 9 months. So he was already talking, like, even when he went into his second birthday, he was already talking. So he was 2 years and a half. And, they had gone, Elu and Natasha had gone with their grandmother to the shops. And my stepdad was in Rundu at the time. He was living at the mosque in Rundu at the time, and the imam from Rundu called my mom and asked, you know, like, are you seated? Are you in a comfortable space? And, she said yes, but she wasn't actually in a comfortable space. She was at the shops outside of Baines. So she was not in a comfortable space. I think she wanted to hear the news, and she couldn't wait until she gets home for the person to call back and then tell her the news, or whatever information the person was supposed to give, you know. And then the imam told her that that her husband had passed away, and at that moment, you know, she fell to the ground, and she was now with her grandchildren. So Natasha is a year and a half, and Elu is 2 years and a half, because they are a year apart, and she's just with these two little people, and she falls to the ground, and then she starts crying, and then the children start crying as well. And then, I think the phone was on loudspeaker, because, you know, old people, they speak on loudspeaker. I don't know. Year in, year out. Just, hello. Yeah. Loudspeaker. The imam had said, which I know, and now they had to get a cab back home, because now Kuku couldn't walk anymore, and they got a cab back home. They didn't even buy. So Elu came into the house running. He had like one tear, and I think that he had this one long tear, because I think that he didn't really understand what it is, but he understood that it was something that was painful, because the grandmother was crying, and it was something that crippled the grandmother, you know, like, just put her down, you know. So it must be something that's bad. So he came to come and tell me, so that I give the appropriate reaction, so that he can follow suit. Like, ah, guys. You know, every single day, my son, like, I feel like he has abandonment issues, but I don't know why he has abandonment issues, because his parents are very present. He's got like 4 parents. Like, I don't know what his problem is. You know, that boy asks me every single day, are you coming back? Like, how? Like, I just go to work and don't come back, or what? Every single day, are you going to work? I don't understand. Every single day, I come to work at the same time. That boy. So he was looking at me for an appropriate reaction, and I acted appropriately for him to grasp and to understand. I gave him omahekerekohe, because it was his grandfather, you know. I gave him omahekerekohe. I gave them hugs, and then I comforted them, and then I asked, and then I said, "Le tuka hekerekeni kuko." Yeah, tuka hekereka kuko. I don't even think they know what is okuhekereka, but you know what? I'm strong on the Oshindonga there, guys. Yeah, you guys can call my daughter. Like, my daughter Ne is my A star. The small one. My daughter is my A star, that one. She's representing me very well. Eh? She, English zero. English zero. Not even hello. She knows bye bye. Hey, but thereby, by everything. Okanjato, njato, etake nelokana. She's a state up Oshindonga. No, she kwanya mangane, because she stays with Cecilia, and Cecilia is okwanyama. But I don't care what Oshiwambo she's speaking, as long as it's Oshiwambo. So that one is my Esther child. And she is also slowly but surely, teaching the older ones, right? To be speaking more Oshiwambo. Elu, fluent in Oshiwambo. Natasha doesn't want to try. I don't know. Maybe it's because she's light-skinned or something. But now she's forced to speak, because the child doesn't understand English. So the child is just out there emotionally supporting the mother. The child is just out there speaking Oshindonga, Oshiwambo. Eh? imikele etha, itueni, patapo, oshapi, etekende. The kids are talking, guys. The kids are talking, and I'm so proud of myself. As a 90s baby, having children that are speaking my mother tongue, ne? Is a blessing for me. It is a privilege. I'm honored. Where was I? So, we took it from there, and that's how we came about in consoling my mother and starting with the arrangements. And I stepped into my shoes as Mesheri, and that's what I did. So now part of my process is to let my people know what is happening to me in my life. So I've got like a stash of friends. I've got like 5 friends that I consider people that I must reach out to, you know, when I'm celebrating, when I'm grieving, when I'm not well, when I'm fantastic. There are 5 people, you know, so it's Mikela's Mbushe, Juliet, you know, Mikela is Juliet. So it's Juliet, it's Lukeno, and it was now this friend of mine, and then the other two. So I reached out, and at the time we were extremely close. Like extremely close, like close, like sleep over close, you know, like basically our lovers, knew that we were a sisterhood, So when they have difficulties in their relationship, I go and mediate, and I am not biased, I'm neutral, and I hear and understand and validify everybody's emotions, and the same goes for her in my life, in my relationships, you know. And at this point, I told her that my dad had passed away, and she handled it the way I expected, you know, like, oh my goodness, what happened? Oh my, you know, we did that. But then it was a matter of, so when are you coming? When are you coming to me? Because one, you know my home life. You know my role in my family. You know, right, that I am everybody else's support system. And then I stand alone. You know, I stand alone at many places. You know, I'm very privileged now to have best friend. I'm very, very privileged because through life, like life with him, in all honesty, has been roller coasters as well. But he never disappoints when it comes to major things in my life. You know, he's the one that is at the hospital. He's the one that's wiping down. He's the one that is assisting. He's the one that's pumping. He's the one that is, he literally navigated my grandfather's funeral because I couldn't be in attendance because I had to work, and I had to work because I had already taken some days, and, you know, I have to work. So he went as a representative. That's why I say that don't embarrass your partner. If your partner is Mesheri in their family, be Tatesheri. If your partner is Tatesheri in their family, be Tatesheri. If your partner is known to be somebody in terms of pironga na purongwe, you know, be that. And even if your partner is not that, be that you are, but strong within your family, so you become dependable. Sometimes you are wondering why people get titles and they become favorites within the family, right? You wonder that. But it is because of their mannerisms and their attitude when it comes to together activities, when it comes to what we do for the family entirely. What we do, you must not go to your house, right? Whether it's your family or it's your partner's family, you must not go to your family without buying groceries. Or shiriai. Like, you guys are going to the village and you don't carry groceries. What's wrong with you? No. Mukajeshike. No. You take groceries so that even if it's just one day, you go and make potato salad for the people. Chitenya shaye apo. Like my cuckoos, because in Shindonga, our mothers-in-law or our in-laws, right? Because we don't have tatekuru, we don't have mekulu, we have cuckoo, and cuckoo serves as grandmother, grandfather, and uncle. Yeah, those three are under the category of cuckoo. So when you are older, cuckoo also falls for in-laws. Your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, it's cuckoo. Yeah, it's cuckoo. So I go, when we go to my in-laws, right? I cook. Because also people are tired of ukujoshimbobo every day. Eh? Every day you, like, they can cook for you on the first day or whatever. But if you have been there a couple of times and it's your home now, right? Tell the old people to not cook. Kucha, and you make something nice. It can't just be Christmas that you guys are eating nice, guys. Eh? You can't just be saving the food for Christmas. We're going to make potato salad on Christmas. We're going to do what? When you get home, right? Treat the place like it's your home. Eh? You take cool drink. You can even take oros. And then toninginana eh, mere. And the kids, they drink. And you give bread. And you guys sit under the shade. And you guys, you embrace. You embrace. That is how you become shitenya. That is, you can never be replaced by anybody. Ever. Eh? You'll even be afraid to bring side chick there. But there are some of you guys, ne, that have been disrespected in your in-laws' houses where people know all the people that your partner sleeps with because you have not made a mark. And people don't see you as valuable, but it's because you're not nice. Hmm? Because when you guys go to your house there, you're like, ugh, we have to buy potatoes and what, because me, I know at my house there's nothing. I know that there's nothing. So, then you take it home. That's exactly how, that is exactly how you are supposed to be. You must take things home. Hey, washing powder. Hey, guys, there are kids inside that house that go to school. Washing powder. Hey, or thewa the kwikosha. It doesn't even have to be fancy. Even the $2 ones, $6 ones, $4, $5 ones. Hey, you buy those ones. Even just this long one. Hmm? Then you just cut for every single gig room or every single set of children. Which are, okay, we don't have money for washing powder, what, right? But we can buy that long green bar. And we just cut it, which are, this is for uniform. Eh? This is okarolo nakwe. They will appreciate. But you guys don't do that. You guys go there with your private food that you guys put in your onguru that your husband built. And you guys put it in the fridge there. Then you guys eat your Kentucky's there. And then your kids go and play with the others. You're having knickknacks. A packet of knickknacks is, like, the big packet is $60. Buy and share with all the kids. Ah. You people are not emotionally supportive of your sharia. So, for me, the thing that really honestly just threw me off and then made me, like, question everything was when she said, like, so I said, like, when are you coming? Yeah? When are you coming? Are you going to come so that we can go to the north? So are you gonna come so that we go to the north? Or are you gonna come so that we can run around here for things like Okuvioka and to hold the memorial service because we held it at home? You know, her reason, eh? Do you know what she said? She said that she's not coming. And her reason for not coming is that she doesn't know how to deal with death. Bro. That one broke my heart. Kucha, ngai ngai nendi shishi. Do I know how to lose a father? So I'm an expert at losing fathers. This is also the first father I'm losing in my life. Eh? So, when do you support me then? When do you only support me through my tribulations? Or is it my achievements and my alkalides? But you don't support me when I'm down and under in my sorrow and my grief. So that is something that pushed me back, that showed, that was an indication that, she couldn't be supportive for me in that time. And I questioned everything. So that was like, that was the first domino that fell. So everything else, that was the foundation cracking. And after that, everything was just a ripple effect. It was like dominoes falling. Like we don't see eye to eye here. We don't like, it was just a mess. You understand? And that is why it is not, we need to validify one another's emotions. We need to acknowledge that their feelings are valid, even if you don't share them. You don't have to feel like, yeah, She was really wrong. You don't have to think, you don't have to think or feel that the person that, that wronged this person, was wrong. You don't have to, but you can acknowledge that they are hurt. You can acknowledge that something was said to them that hurt them, right? Or they feel hurt. They might not be hurt for the correct reasons, but they feel hurt. They feel disrespected, and avoid minimizing and dismissing their concerns. So don't make their problems seem small. Don't make it like, yeah, being insulted by your mother is normal. No, maybe you are used to being insulted by your mother, but here, ne, I'm not used to it. So don't come and tell me that, no, just get used to it, bruh. No. And don't dismiss it like it's nothing. Like, that's nothing. You guys do that a lot. And that is why people go and commit suicide and say, I had no one. Because even when they try, I think that we have this idea or this picture in our minds, right? That when somebody is coming to talk to you, it's going to be like this. We have this vision. And that is part of the expectations that I'm telling us, leave them, leave the expectations behind. Okay? So basically we have this, imaginary picture in our minds where we're like, okay, so when somebody is going through something, what they're going to do is they're going to send me a text, and then they are going to call for a meeting, and then we are going to sit at a nice place with flowers, and then they are going to pour their hearts out and then just start crying, and then I'm going to console them, and then they're going to tell me their things, you know? That's how we envision it. But sometimes, right, me telling you my feelings is me and you in the car together, and we are driving, and then I say something like, oh, me, I'm just so tired of life, bruh. I'm so tired of life, ne. It seems like everything is just going bad. But this person is driving, and you guys, you could have been sitting there listening to music, and then this person is talking, which are, my friend, me, I'm tired of life, wah. You are expecting it to be a moment where Celine Dion is playing in the background.
There were days when the night was so cold and my body froze in bed all day just listening inside the window. There were days when the sun was so cruel and my tears turned to dust and I just knew my eyes were dry enough forever.
There's somebody out there that's saying, forever.
I finished crying in the instant that you left and I can't remember where or when or how. And I banished every memory that I have ever made.
When you touch me like this. Hey, you are expecting that. You are expecting climax and you are expecting rainbows and unicorn farts. And this is what you're expecting, right? You're expecting it to be a calm moment where somebody is having a tissue and they are telling you like, yeah, you know, I was molested when I was 5 and I've been dealing with it for a long time. Mm-mm. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. That's why we must be attentive. That's why we must notice when something is off, so that every chance we get, right, we can step into active listening. We can step into consoling. We can step into it and do these steps so that the person feels heard and the person can express themselves freely. So now, if you want to force somebody to pull over so that they can talk their feelings, are they going to talk their feelings? They're not. So every opportunity, when somebody takes the opportunity to express themselves, kucha me, my dear, I don't know that Maria, ne? And Maria hurt my feelings, man. Like, ne? So you are hurt by Maria's actions, ne? You are hurt by the fact that she cheated on you with that guy. Yeah, bruh. Eh? So me, I'm just here at home. Kanti, this girl is just running the streets of Windhoek. Yeah, I hear you and I understand how you must be feeling. That's how you respond quickly. You don't go and tell somebody that has been betrayed by the person that they love. Eh? You don't go and tell them, you can just get another one. You don't jump to that step. That step is there. It's called motivation. But it is not part of this step. If we can crack the first step, right, then we can go very far with our loved ones. We can prevent many people I can guarantee you that many people that have ended their lives, right? They did speak. No one heard them. They did speak. No one heard them because we have expectations of what somebody in distress speaks like. We have this idea. We have expectations. We have this wild imagination of what it should sound like. You know, when I was 10 and, my mom passed away, life was so hard for me and my dad and we were kicked out and that emotionally traumatized me because we were, you are expecting that one. You are expecting that. You are expecting somebody that's coming weeping. You're expecting somebody that's coming vulnerable, but that person that's driving in the car, that might be their most comfortable zone that they could ever be in. We are different. We are special because we are normal. Take up every single opportunity to listen to your people. To listen and to hear what they are saying. Don't be quick to dismiss and to brush off things. I'm feeling very hurt. I understand kucha how you must be feeling. Shashino kashirishiri oshimoshua nawa andorontu tatore ramondu daweka. And kashirashiri kashiri panlandu onu akae natango tatora yokuninangwe ondiku vite kume kanji. I hear you. I hear how you feel. And the way that you are feeling ne oshiripan landu. I hear and I understand. You are correct. That is how you validify, right? Kucha. The way you are feeling, you are not crazy for feeling the way you are feeling because the thing that happened to you is really bad. Then that way, right? It's not because many of us are afraid of fueling the fire. Sometimes, right, we have to make the fire bigger in that moment so that we can de-escalate it. And sometimes the person just had to tell another living soul what they are feeling. It's not that they're going to act upon it. It's not that they're going to do what. No. It is because they needed to tell another person that would understand their pain and they chose you. It's not orthodox. It's not the way that you are expecting, but it's happening, okay? It's like a baby that's coming now. There's no way you can say, kucha, hey, Mario kana kashuna mwara ke oshiwike tashiyamiti tatu shindiri off. No. There's no those things. You take it. Before it. But gents, but women. You take it right now that it's happening and you navigate around it. You navigate around it. You validify, you recognize, you repeat so that you can have a full understanding. And most importantly, you must be the sane one. You must be the calm one. Let them express themselves. If it is a bit dangerous and you guys are talking in the car and the person is driving, then you can say, kucha, let's pull over my brother. Let's go drink. Let's go drink our cool drink here outside quickly. Mangandika stama. Eh? You understand? And you continue the conversation. You guys can sit in the car and you guys can talk and really, really connect with one another. People feel like they are alone. But I can guarantee you that there's nobody that didn't say that they feel bad before they went to commit suicide. There's no one. There's no one that didn't say it. They said it. The problem is that as the receivers of the information, we often think, right, that nothing's going to happen. And we often don't expect the moment where we can step up and help another person to look like this. We don't expect it to be you, buckling up and you deciding, kucha, you know, I don't want anymore. You don't expect it to be having a conversation with a lady on the radio. You don't expect it. You are expecting, right, your cousin to come and console you and understand you. And then when you talk to your cousin is, like, They are trying. We can't blame people for not knowing how to receive certain information. We can't blame people for not being emotionally intelligent. And that is why we are teaching. That is why we are teaching these kinds of things, so that we can assist. So that when your husband is saying things like, oh, karunga kanji, kiweta kuchandi ningingin, ika irunga njinunda kanisa, this work that I lost, I have no idea how I'm going to navigate through it. Instead of saying, don't worry, baby, we are going to be fine. The thing is that, I mean, I don't know if we are going to be fine or not. Because really, this job that I had, ne, was carrying us, guys. Eh? It was carrying us. There are so many things that are going to be behind, and you're telling me I should not worry. I'm worried. So don't say, baby, we are going to be fine. You say, Kuja, yeah, I understand. I understand the frustration and this fear that you must be feeling. Chash, you know, basically this job was responsible for carrying us. I hear you. That's how you repeat. So basically what you are feeling, ne, is that we are not going to make it without this job. And I know you guys want to jump straight to motivation, but allow people to fururuka. Allow people to what do you call it? Boil over in your presence, because you are a safe haven. You are a safe place. If I can show you my ugly, if I can show you my emotional outburst, if I can show you my me spilling over, and not in a sexy way, right? You are my safe place. Allow this to happen, right? And motivate me later. Allow me to let it out. I advise my children when they are crying. My children had a rough start because they have Natasha's dad is like a deep alcoholic dude, and Natasha's dad happens to be Elu's uncle, my brother. So they had witnessed a lot of disruption in their early years. They've noticed a lot of disruption and a lot of uncertainty and fear when it came to Malume, you know, uncle. And that in itself caused them to, somewhere, somehow along the line, they want to cry quietly. They want to be angry inside. Me, I disappoint my children, and I chill with them in their disappointment. And then I tell them to open their mouths when they are crying. If you need to scream, scream. My son is very emotional. So I allow him to be emotional. If he's very angry, I allow him to stomp his feet. There's no, come back here. Who do you think you are doing that to? Allow him to stomp his feet. When he has cooled down, I bring him back and I tell him, Kucha, that thing that you did there, that was very disrespectful, because I'm an elder. You don't do that. And next time when he's having an angry outburst again, then there's no stomping of the feet. What he does is he just walks away crying loud. Eh? Or he just goes crying loud, but at least it's out. So let us be the safe haven that other people need, our loved ones need. And the biggest challenge with issues, right? And I'm telling you to brace yourself, because nobody ever talks about how boring one, and how annoying it is to be living in somebody's pain, to be living in somebody's sorrow, to be living in somebody's distress, and to be living in somebody's depression. Nobody tells you how annoying it is that even today they didn't do nothing. Even today they are just complaining about this thing. Even today they are still talking about it. Even today they are still mourning. Even today they are still anxious. Even today they are still depressed. You are not wrong for feeling irritated, because it's another person. No matter how one you are, no matter how maturakumwe you are, right? this person is still an individual and so are you. It gets tiring. It gets tiring to have a partner that is depressed. It gets tiring. The house becomes gloomy because it took two to make the house alive. And now the other light is so dim. And now you're just using your light, but that other light is also draining you. It does. It's draining. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's irritating for you, the supporter. It is. And you're not crazy, friend. You're not crazy for feeling like that. It's like having your mother go through Alzheimer's. Every day she's asking you, who are you? You think, that one day it's not going to hurt you, that question. That's why we always say that there must be a support system for the spouses. There must be a support system for the support system as well. There must be a group for the support system. We can't just be taking you to Alcoholics Anonymous, but we are not going to our own support group for people that are supporting alcoholics. Because it also takes a lot from you. Because I equally also lose my mind when I'm attending to you. Right? So you are not crazy. You're not crazy for feeling like your person is a burden on your emotions. You are not. The only thing that I can tell you is that it does get better. It does get better when you follow certain steps. So today we are talking about active listening and validation. We're talking about active listening and validation. So we validify, right? And last but not least of number one is be present. Being present is not you being there in body. Being present is you showing genuine interest in their perspective and experiences. Can't say they are manyoko nyokwara. No. So the perspective is that, yeah, I understand how you feel because it's your mom perspective. It's your mom. And obviously, she knows that you are her child. But for her to say something like that was, it was intended. It hurt you. It hurt you. Because you don't throw mother under the bus. You never throw mother under the bus. Because when they make up, then you are the evil witch. So, it hurt you. You know? I understand. I'm here. I'm present. And you're not the type of person that, hey, you guys are having this deep conversation, then you decide to take a phone call, and then you come back after 20 minutes. Now, you are here, serious face, and then you go and laugh with your friend on the phone, then you come back. You will find me talking about other things. I will not continue that conversation that was already uncomfortable to start. So, stop expecting the conversation to be mellow. Stop expecting the conversation to be like talking to the matriarch, because you, when now when you see the matriarch, you're like, wow. So that's probably how people come forward. Like, yeah, so I'm just feeling all kinds of what, and you know, lately I've been, no. Mm-mm. It's not every situation that is very cool and calm, and it's just so wonderful. Like, oh my goodness. No. Mm-mm. Sometimes the conversation is happening right now. Be active. Because you asked, right? You asked so that the person can talk to you. And now the person is talking to you. Then what? Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm bidding you guys farewell. I love you so much forever and a day. You are important to me and you are everything that I ever wanted and more. From me, the matriarch, bye-bye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle.
Welcome back. And we have a special guest, the first one for the day. We have the former Prime Minister, former Education Minister, former Defense Minister, and we have one of the top high-ranking SWAPO cadres.